Hi, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's really very wonderful to do this, to join together and learn right before Erev Shabbos Shuvah. So it's very inspiring for me, inspired by all of you, that everybody's coming out on a Thursday night to come learn together. Thank you, Rabbi Winston, for organizing. We did this Erev Shavuos also. I think it's a wonderful way to go into Yom Tov. I want to talk a little bit about creation of the world. I know, I'm a little bit late. It's a week late. We talked about Hayom Haras Olam on Rosh Hashanah, but we're still celebrating the birthday celebration, and I think there are a lot of lessons that we could learn from the creation of the world and what exactly happens. Whenever I teach Sefer Bereishit, we always start out. We go through the Perek Aleph, which is the story of creation. And it's very uplifting, and Perek Aleph ends with the creation of man, and Hashem kind of kivyachol takes a step back and says, and we're told by Yah Hashem et kol asher asah v'hineh tov ma'od, and Hashem saw that everything that he saw was very, everything he made was very good, and it's very wonderful. Everything's great. The world was created. And only five prakim later, not even 4.5 prakim later, 5 prakim later, we're told, "Vayar Hashem et ki rabba ra'at adam ba'aretz v'chol yetzer machshavot libo rak ra kol hayom." Everything's bad. 5 chapters later, everything's bad, and Hashem is destroying the world. So what happened? I think if we look carefully at what happened here, we could learn a lot from this. The first source I have for you is the introduction of the Nitziv to Sefer Bereishit. If you look at Sefer Bereishit at the Nitziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin wrote the wonderful Perush HaEmek Davar, and he has an introduction to every Sefer. And Bereishit is my all-time favorite. All my students know you can't, leave my classes without doing the introduction to Sefer Bereishit, which I learned years ago in when I was in Mechala for the year with Rav Kuperman, Alav HaShalom. He always started class with this. So what the Nitziv does in all his introductions to each one of the Svarim, he tells us another name for the Sefer and why it's called by that name. So he starts, we're not going to read through the whole thing. You do have a lot of sources, by the way. I thought the shiur was an hour, and then I noticed that it was a half hour. So we'll do half of it. It's fine. Don't worry. It's not so long. I don't want to take up the next speaker. So he starts out and he says, "Zeh Sefer Nikra Sefer Bereishit, Nikra B'fi HaNevi'im Sefer HaYashar." And he quotes different places that Sefer Bereishit is called Sefer HaYashar, the book of the straight. And then he continues and he says, and he quotes different sources where it's referred to as Sefer HaYashar. Umefaresh Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh Sefer Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Shenikra'u Yesharim. He says, why is it called Sefer HaYashar? And the word Yashar means straight. Again, anybody who's ever been in Israel asking for directions, you know that word. Yashar, 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 V'az Tishali. Go straight and then ask someone. That's how people answer. Or yeah, whatever. So he says. So he references this strange reference from the Navi Bilam, who calls the Avos Yesharim. He's saying that this book is called Sefer HaYashar because it's about the Avos, and the Avos are called Yesharim. Where are the Avos called Yesharim? Well, Bilam, when he tried to curse Bnei Israel, when King Balak hired him to curse Bnei Israel, he, at the end of this saga, and it's a great story, talking donkey and everything, and he couldn't do it. And at the end of the story, he has this like epiphanal moment where he says, my end, I wish that I could be, my life should end like the life of those Yesharim. And the Mefarshim say he's referring to the Avos. Now, why is Bilam referring to the Avos as Yesharim? He's saying, I wish I could be a little more like them. Again, if you look at some of the explanations there, what he's saying in this moment of clarity, like, I have kochot and they have kochot. I use my kochot to curse people. They use their kochot for the benefit of people, to bring people up. So maybe I should be a little more like them. So the Nitziv asks, why is he calling them Yesharim? Why not Tzadikim or Chasidim? Like Yesharim is a strange term. Call them righteous people, pious people. V'gam lama mechuna zeh ha-sefer b'yichud b'kinu Yesharim. And not only are we asking why is Bilam referring to them as Yesharim, but why are we calling this whole Sefer Yesharim based on some obscure reference that is made by Bilam, Harasha, a bad Navi Bilam. And he continues with Bilam hitpalel al atzmo sheyach haritok mo balei hazeh kinoi. Bilam, like I said to you before, Bilam is davening for himself that he should be more like these yesharim. So what does that mean, yesharim? B'hainyan shenitzpa'er, what is he referring to? B'shirat hazinu ala pasuk hatzor tamim palo v'gomer tzadik v'yasharhu. He says that in Parshat Hazinu, Hashem, Moshe refers to Hashem as tzadik v'yashar, that Hashem is tzadik v'yashar. What does it mean, yashar? The shevach yashar hu ne'amar, lehatzdik din HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'churban bayit sheni, shayador akeshu petaltel. That the praiseworthiness of the word yashar is to, yashrus is what rationalized, what justified rather, the terrible decree of Hashem in Churban Bayit Sheni, because it was a terribly not great, a crooked generation. Uperashnu shayut tzadikim v'amalei Torah. But wait a second, we know that there were tzadikim and chasidim and there was a lot of learning going on. Achlo hayu yisharim b'halichot olamim. So they were very from, there was a lot of learning, but they weren't yashar in the ways of the world. Imkein mipnei sinat chinam shebelibam ze el ze, because of baseless hatred they had towards each other. Chashdu et misha ra'ush and oheg shelo kidatam beirem. They suspected people. They were judgmental of people and looked at people that weren't like them in terms of their, you know, avodas Hashem, and they called them tzidukim v'apikorsim. They called them heretics. And you know, the baseless hatred called bloodshed, bederach haflaga and divisiveness. Ulechol haraot shabalam ad shacharav habayit, and it caused all these terrible things, culminating in the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Ve'alze hayatzadok adin, and it was because of this of Yashrus is what justified Hashem's decree of destroying Yerushalayim, destroying the Beis Hamikdash. Look at this next line. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yasharu Ve'eino Sovel Tzadikim Ke'elu. Ke'elu. You could do Ke'elu also. Because God, Hashem, is Yashar and he has no patience for Tzadikim like this. Ela Be'ofen Sholchim B'Derech HaYashar Gam B'Halichot Olam V'lo Be'akmimut. But he wants us to be yashar and be straight also in the ways of the world, not just when it comes to ben adam l'makom, but also how we treat people, and not in a crooked way. Look at this, af al gav shu l'shem shamayim, even though it's l'shem shamayim, meaning I don't hate this person because they're richer than me or they have a nicer house and I'm jealous. I hate them because they're not religious enough, because they're not doing avodas Hashem the way they're supposed to. Af al gav shu l'shem shamayim shezeh gorem churban habriya v'harisut yishuv ha'aretz, because it causes destruction of creations, destruction of the world. V'zeh haya shevach ha'avot. This is what was so great about the avot. Shem milvad shayu tzadikim v'chasidim v'oveh Hashem ba'ofen hayoter efshar, because even though they were tzadikim and chasidim in a way more than we could ever imagine, od hayu yesharim. They were also yashar. They were good people. Haynu shitnagu imumot haolam afilu ovdei elilim mechuarim. Look how they dealt with, look how they interacted with the people of the world. You know, people who were oved avodah zarah, people who were diametrically opposed to everything they stood for. Mikol makom hayu imam biyahava v'chashu l'tovatam. They, despite their differences, they treated them with love and wanted what was best for them, davened for their benefit, kasher hikiyum habriya. And that is the fulfillment of creation of the world. I wish I could continue, but we have more things to do. But then he goes on to say, this is what the avos were so great at. And the first example he gives, he says, look at how Avram Avinu davened on behalf of Sodom, even though, again, they were diametrically opposed to everything he stood for, he still wanted the best for them. He still hoped for the best for them. He had hope that maybe they can change, and that's why he argued with Hashem about saving them. And this is what Kiyum Habriyah, this Yashrus, is what allows, enables the world to continue existing and fulfills the entire purpose of creation. And then he ends and he says, this is why this is called, you know, this is why Bilam screamed out, Tamud Nafshi Mot Yesharim, again, I have kochot, they have kochot. I use them negatively to hurt people. They use them to help people. And maybe I should be a little more like them. The Mekaymei Habriyah, those who fulfill the entire purpose of creation. And he says, because it's Sefer HaBriyah. This is why this book is called Sefer HaYashar, because it's Yashrut that makes the world go round. So in the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I want to show you that throughout Bereishit, this is the message that Hashem is giving us. You know, here we are before Yom Kippur, and we're asking Hashem for tshuva, and we're asking Hashem for redemption, you know, personally, communally, nationally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And how are we doing that? How are we doing this tshuva? Are we just doing tshuva for Ben Adam LeMakom? Or should we be focused even more, or maybe not more, but just as much sometimes on Ben Adam LeChavero? If you look at what goes on during Bereishit, Parshat Bereishit, if you look at the different things that happen, first of all, the way Hashem created the world, if you look at the way that Hashem created the world, not just what he's creating, but how he's creating it. If you look at Rashi in our next source, Na'aseh Adam, when Hashem creates man, he says, Na'aseh Adam bayomer Elokim, Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmeinu k'dmuteinu. And Rashi points out, of course, the most obvious question, what do you mean, Na'aseh Adam? Let us make man? Who's us? You know, Hashem doesn't need helpers. And Rashi, there were two Rashis. I brought one of them, but I'll tell you the other one. Na'aseh Adam. He says, first of all, we learn the Anava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamdu Mikan, Lamadnu Mikan. We learn humility and sensitivity. Lefisha Adam bidmut ha-malachim bi'itkanu bo lefikach nimlach bahem. Because when Hashem is creating man, again, don't just look at what he's creating, but how he's creating. And he teaches us such lessons how he creates. When he creates man, he's worried that the malachim will be jealous. Now, the malachim are not human beings. They don't have human emotions. So if Hashem is going out of his way to show sensitivity to malachim who do not have human emotions, because maybe they'll be jealous, so that's why lefikach nimlach bahem. That's why he says he brings them in the process. Come, let's make man together. Let's do this together. So because of the sensitivity, Hashem is saying, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man, because he's bringing them into the process. Again, he's teaching us midos tovos. He's teaching us sensitivity to non-human creations, you know, angels that don't even have human emotions. Kal v'chomer, people that have human emotions. How sensitive should we try to be to them? You don't have the second Rashi, but Rashi says, Na'aseh Adam, the second Dibar Matzchil, Na'aseh Adam. I'm just going to read it to you from the Chumash. Afal pi shelo siyu b'yitzirato. This is, he adds one point. Even though, of course, they didn't help Hashem create man, v'yesh makom l'minim lirdot, Hashem is opening himself up to heretics. Na'aseh Adam. I mean, Christian missionaries love this pasuk. You see, let us make man. There's a trinity. There's not just one God. So even though Hashem knows he's opening himself to critics, lo nimna hakatuv milelameid derech eretz umidat anava. The Torah is not going to lose an opportunity to teach us what it means to have good midos, what it means to be humble, what it means to be sensitive, derech eretz. And that's why Hashem is doing this. When Hashem creates man, he, like we said, he says, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. The Radak has a very, very interesting shot on that. He says, Na'aseh Adam, in source number 3, he says, Higdim lehodia, kival livro Adam, v'chein b'ishto higdim, v'amar, lo tov hayod Adam levado, esalo ezer kenegdo. The Radak points out that man and woman are the only creations that have an introduction. Right? Nothing else. Hashem doesn't say Eseor Bayihiar. You know, it says Bayom Hashem Yihiar Bayihiar. You know, he made everything and he created it. There's not an introduction before things. But the reason that there's an introduction before man, says the Radak, because he says, Mashalos Akein Bechol HaBarim. Why does he do this? He didn't do this with any other creations. Bezot Gilat Sidkato Leinei Kol Yitzurav. Again, Hashem is teaching us how to be a mensch. He's teaching us midos tovos. Hashem is showing us, it's showing the righteousness of Hashem before all his creations. He's about to create a creation, i.e. man, that's going to have power and rulership over everything that he created already. He didn't want to just surprise them and say, hey, surprise, I just created something that has rulership over all of you. So he wanted to warn them. He wanted to ease them into it. It's sensitivity. Like a king who wants to increase taxes. You know, it's not so nice to do it suddenly. You know, tell people this is coming. I'm going to increase taxes because it'll be good for you. We'll make things better. We'll improve things. So again, it's a sensitivity piece that Hashem is teaching us how he creates. He's teaching us sensitivity. I think it's funny because, you know, I don't know what the Radak's wife was like, but, you know, just like Hashem warns all the creations about the creation of man, maybe that's why he warns man about the creation of woman. Who knows? You're about to have a Moshe L'Rodeh. You're about to have a ruler over you. I'm just warning you. Just kidding. I don't think that's what he meant. It's just the creation, but it just makes me smile when I see that Radak. Anyway, so again, the way Hashem creates the world, he teaches us good midos. If you look at the next stories, again, we're skipping around here. I'm going to skip all the way to source number 13 and get to the stories of Bereishit. There are a couple stories highlighted in Bereishit that I think really bring this message home to what the focus is and what caused the destruction of the world at the end of Parshat Bereishit. So there are four stories highlighted. I think, you know, most people are familiar with two out of the four. The first one is the most famous story about Adam and Chava, right? And that's source number 13. So Adam and Chava were told they could do anything they want except for one thing, and they did that one thing, and they ate from the Eitz Hadas. Even when Hashem confronts Adam and Chava, he's not getting angry. They didn't listen to him. It was terrible. They could do anything they want except for one thing that Hashem told them not to, and that's what they did. Still, Hashem calls out to them, and all Hashem wants them to do is tshuva. Hashem wants them to take accountability, to admit what they've done. Hashem calls Adam and he says, where are you? And Rashi points out there, yodeh haya heichanu. Hashem knew exactly where he was. He's just, you know, he wanted to likanesimo bidvarim ulay yashuv. Maybe that he'll enter him with words and he'll do tshuva and he'll say, yes, I messed up. And again, he's teaching us, it's not just that Adam sinned against Hashem and Hashem is angry with him because he wasn't a good listener. Hashem wants to teach Adam and Chava how to do the right thing, how to have good midos, take responsibility, take accountability for your actions. Of course, Adam and Chava don't do that. And when Hashem asks them, you know, what happened? And Adam says, "That's kol chashamati bagan ve'iraki romanich bechabe." Adam responds, you know, well, I'm naked and I'm embarrassed, so I was hiding. And then Hashem says, "Vayomer mi gid lachaki romata hamin ha'etz asher tziviticha lebiti achomi menu achalta." Who told you that you're naked? Could it be that you ate from the tree that I told you not to eat from? I mean, talk about leading questions. All Hashem wants is for Adam to say, I'm so sorry, to learn to take responsibility. What he did against Hashem, Hashem could be mochel on. Just take responsibility, be a mensch, right? Fess up, take responsibility for your actions. Of course, Adam doesn't. You know, Vayomer Adam haisha shenatata imadi, hi natzal min ha'etz v'ochal. Adam blames not just Chava, but also Hashem, the woman you gave me, God, she caused me to sin. And then Hashem turns to Chava, Mazo Tasit, Batom Arisha, Hanachash Asiani Ve'achal. And Chava also doesn't take responsibility and blames it on the Nachash. Story number two, the second famous story, second story about man, Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel each bring a carbon to Hashem. Hevel's is accepted and Cain's is not. Vel Cain ben Minchato lo sha'a. In source number 14, Pasukei, Perek Dal Pasukei. Vayichar l'kayin ma'od vayiplu panav. Kayin's face falls, he's very angry and his face falls. So he's very angry and he's very sad. And Hashem says to him, Vayom Hashem al Kayin, lama chara lecha v'lama naflu panecha? You know, why are you so angry and why are you so sad? There's a great Sephorno there that basically says, you know, like you have no right to be angry. Again, Hashem is teaching him a lesson. Take responsibility. You did something. I don't care. So you brought me a gift. It wasn't so nice. That's a different share I give. Why he didn't accept the gift. Okay, it wasn't so mechubad. It wasn't so respectable. So I didn't accept the gift. But it's not about me. I don't care about the gift. I want you to be a good person. So I want you to reflect on what you did. And then next time you bring something, it's a little more mechubad. It's nicer. You know, again, I don't care so much, but I'm trying to teach you how to be a good person. So Hashem, the Sephorno says that when Hashem says, lama chara lecha v'lama flu panecha, why are you angry? You're angry at your brother because his gift was accepted? It has nothing to do with your brother. It's about you. But you know what? Don't beat yourself up over it. You know, the Sephorno says, k'sheyesh l'kukul ezo takana, if you want to fix something, ein ra'ui l'hitzta'er al ma she'avar. It's not good to just, you know, feel bad about what happened in the past. Aval ra'ui lishtadel lasit tikun latid. Pick yourself up and move on. Hashem is teaching him how to move on past disappointments and how to learn from it, how to grow from it. He gives him a beautiful speech there. If you do good, if you do good, you'll learn from this and you'll be lifted up. And if nothing good comes of this, then your sins are just going to follow you to the grave, right? And yes, you have a desire to give in to your negativity, but you can also overcome it. Amazing words. Hashem is teaching him how to be a good person, how to not react, how to not be, you know, wallow in self-pity, how to not be negative. Of course, Cain doesn't listen. He gets up and he kills Hevel. And even after he killed Hevel in Pasuk Tet, Hashem says to Vayomer Hashem al Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha. Same thing he said to Adam. He says to Adam, Ayeka. He says to Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha. Rashi says the same thing. What do you mean? He didn't know Yodeh Hayah Heichanu. He knew exactly where Hevel was. But he's asking him again, Likanesimo Bidvarim, even after he didn't heed Hashem's words of wisdom and insight into man, he wants Cain to at least take responsibility for his actions. Will there be consequences? Probably, but at least he's, maybe not as bad. Take responsibility. Where's your brother? What'd you do? Tell me. Says Rashi, Ula yashiv v'yomar chatati, harabti oto. You know, I sinned, I killed him. And of course, Cain's response is not that. It's, what I like to call one of the top three chutzpahic lines in the Torah. V'yomar lo yadati hashomer achi anochi. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? The Medrash has the Medrash Tanchuma. How are we doing with time here? Okay, the Medrash Tanchuma has, when he responds, he says, Kevan Shamar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Ehev Achicha. He says, when Cain responded, Lo Yadati Hashomer Achi Anochi, the Medrash Tanchuma gives a mashal. He says it's like a mashal, lemadavar domeh, what is it similar to? Leganav sheganav kelim balayla, like a thief that broke into a house in the middle of the night and stole stuff. And in the Laboker Tafso Ashar, in the morning, the gatekeeper caught him. The guard caught him. Amarlo, lama ganav tata kelim. So the guard said to him, why'd you steal these things? Amarlo, ani ganav, lo hinachti omonotai. I'm a thief. I did my job. Avalata omonotecha, b'shar lishmar, lama hinachti omonotecha. But you're the guard. You're the security guard. You're the one who messed up. I did what I do. You messed up. That's ridiculous. The premise is that I do what I do, so it's okay to steal, to kill. And Cain saying, it's not my fault, God, it's your fault. You shouldn't have put me in this situation and made me do this. You're the one who's supposed to protect Hevel. You should have protected him. So again, he's not taking the bait here and taking responsibility. Last two stories that's highlighted, and these are the lesser known ones. If you look at source number 16, after the story of Cain and Hevel, the Torah tells us all the toladot adam, the toladot haolam, all the generations, this one came birth to this one. Look, in source number 16, Dalid Yudzayin, Vayda Cain et ishto v'atar v'telet echanoch. Okay, next pasuk, Vayivaled lechanoch et irad, ve'irad yalad et mechuyal, mechuyal yalad et mitushal, u'mitushal yalad et lemech, right? This one gave birth to this one, this one gave birth to this one, this one gave birth to this one. And then it stops, and it tells us a little episode about Lemech. And then it goes on to say, this one gave birth to this one, this one gave birth to this one. Very strange. What does it say? Vayikach lo Lemech shtei nashim. Lemech took two wives, which right off the bat is very strange because we don't know this about anybody else, all these other generations. And not only that, we're told what their names are. Shem ha'chad id ada v'shem ha'shenit tzila. That's very strange. We're never told what the wives' names are. And we're never told that they take wives. And we're told Ada gives birth to two boys and Sila gives birth to Tuval Kayin and, a boy and a girl, Noach's wife, Naama. And then we're told, Vayomer Lemech Lenashav Ada Vitzila. Lemech says to his wives, Ada Vitzila. He, first of all, repeats their names, which is strange. And what does he say? Shma'an Koli Nishay Lemech Azina Imrati. Listen carefully, O wives of Lemech. Listen to my words. Listen to what I'm saying. Ki ish haragti lepitzi v'yelad l'chaburati. I killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for hurting me. Ki shivatayim yukam kayin v'lev Lemech shivim v'shiva. And no one's going to punish me because, Cain is going to be, if anyone kills Cain, they'll be punished for seven generations. But if you kill Lamech, me, third person, me, royal, then you'll be punished for 77 generations. There's a lot more to be said on this Lamech story. And I just want to make a disclaimer. There's a lot of ways to understand this story, but I want to tell you what the Malbim says. It's unbelievable. The Malbim blows you away. What's going on here? Why do we have this story of Bichlal? Why do we know about the wives and the names of the wives? Says the Malbim, In our next source, source number 17, Adav Atzila, he says, first of all, Shma'an Koli Ba'al Tamru Atpi. I'm just going to summarize it because I don't have time. I want to finish the last one. But you should look through the Malbim because don't take my word for it. It's going to blow you away. The Malbim says, basically, he's the first spousal abuser. Those are my words. But that's how the Malbim explains it. He says, they're called Adav Atzila. He says, first of all, he's threatening them. And he's saying, don't you dare rebel against my words. And that's why he calls them Nishay Lemech, wives of Lemech. The Torah tells us what their names are. They have names. He's not calling them by their names. He's calling them, you wives of Lemech, because the wives have to subjugate themselves to their husbands. And if you don't listen to me, I'll kill you, because I've killed before. I killed a man for hurting me. I killed his son because while I was killing him, he hurt me. And I'll kill you too. And no one's going to defend you because, you know, Hashem's protecting Cain. I'm so much better than Cain. Hashem will protect me even more. So there's a threat. He's threatening his wives. He's threatening, you know, we didn't even talk about Ezer Kenegdo. You know, Hashem created man, and then he created woman to be the Ezer Kenegdo to man. This is so far away from that. Look what he's doing. And it's certainly not, you know, good midos, if you will. Okay? And that's our Lemech story. Again, there's a lot more to be said. If you have some time to learn through something in the next couple of days, learn through this Malbim. It's really unbelievable. Finally, the last story, which is highlighted, is the very end of the perek of the parsha, where we're told, source number 18, "Vayhi ki achel adam larova pnei adama ubanot yoldu lahem." Man started spreading out over the land and multiplying over the earth, and they had daughters. "Vayiru bnei ha'elohim et benot ha'adam ki tovotena." And the Bnei Elohim saw these Benot Adam, these daughters of Adam, and the Bnei Elohim, Rashi and everybody else explains as Elohim doesn't literally mean God, but judges. You know, judges are called because judges do the work of God. So, you know, we have Balabait El Elohim. We have, you know, when a person has to be brought to court to the judges, it's called Elohim. So these sons of judges see these Benot Adam ki tovotena, that they're good. They see that they're good. And they take for themselves wives from anyone that they chose. And if you look at the Radak, I mean, it is as bad as it looks. it's as bad as it sounds. And the Radak says, these Bnei Elohim are the Shoftim, Bnei Shoftim Agdolim, Omanhigei HaMedinot. They were the Chashuv people, you know, and they basically, they were the upper echelon of society, and they took advantage of the lower people, of the Benot HaAdam. And at Benot Adam, Benot Hamon Adam, Achalushim, Shaloi Alem Koach, Lamor Kenegdam. They couldn't stand up for themselves. They were easily exploited. They were the poor people, the lower people. V'kasher ra'u b'nei ha'alohi agdolim, Benot ha'aniyim, Shayu Tovot. When these important people, you know, the sons of the judges, the upper echelons of society saw these poor peasant women. What do you mean they were good? Ratzal lomar yafot toar umar'eh, that they were good looking. They would force them, they would take whoever they wanted, they would rape them, they would take advantage of them, they would exploit them because they could. And that's the story that is the end of Parsha Breishit. Right after this, Hashem says, Bayar Hashem ki rabara ata adam ba'aretz, that man's actions are so bad. And that's when Hashem decides he's going to destroy the world. And what's fascinating is that it's all about midos. Look how far we've come from the Tzelem Elokim glorified day that Hashem created man, and he made man in the image of God. And he's trying to teach man through Hashem's actions and through how he disciplines man, how to be a mensch, how to have good midos, because that's going to fulfill the purpose of creation. And if you look at our last two sources, Kesuto and Mavim basically say the same thing. Look at the last line in the second to last source here, right? Kol ha'isugim betarbut ha'chomrit einam shavim klum. All the creations, all the achievements in the civilization of man in the physical world are worth nothing. Beli hamidot hatovot bedarchei hamusar, without good midos, without good midos. And that's what the Mavim says as well. He says, Hine Kayin Ubanav Yasu Ir, the kibbutz midini, the tiknuni musim umlachot lahanagata chavra. Look what Kayin and his children did. They created a civilization. They created technology. They created so many amazing things to establish civilization. Bechol zot imlo hatuna titen kola, the imlo yiyu hanashim bale yoshar, the ohavet sedek betivam lo yoilu hanimusim. That all these achievements are worthless. There's no purpose in them without good midos, without people being good. And this is, I think, the message of Bereshit. If you look at the stories of Bereshit, what happens? What happened? Why did Hashem create the world and then destroy it? What is the cause of the degeneration of man? It's not ben adam lemakom. It wasn't sins between man and God. God can be mochel on that. It's the sins between man and man. And I think that, you know, especially coming from this past year and the past few months, it's been certainly challenging. And like I said, we need a geula on so many levels. I think it's very important to, yes, focus on our relationship with Hashem and, you know, definitely, you know, raise the bar when it comes to our ben adam lemakom. But the ben adam lemakom, the judgmentalism, the way we behave, the sensitivity we have towards each other, that's something that I feel like Hashem is not going to be mochel on, you know, if we don't do real tshuva for that. The other stuff he could be mochel on. But to really bring us a geula in every sense of the word, I think that that's something that really we should take upon ourselves to focus on and improve for, and I'm talking to myself also, you know, for all of us for the coming year. So have a gemar chasima tova, a shana tova, a year of good health, of simcha, of geula on every level. And thank you for coming and learning tonight together. Gemar chasima tova.